Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are times when it's important to know that someone is on your side. If you're going through a difficult time, it can really help to know that there's someone who is there for you, someone you can count on. At times, in fact, the most important thing a person needs to know is that whatever they are going through, they're not facing it alone. In this morning's scripture readings about the baptism of Jesus and about our baptism into Jesus, the Lord is giving us his assurance that whatever you might find yourself going through, you can know that you are not in this alone, that you do have someone who is on your side. When the time had come for Jesus to begin his public ministry, he began by coming to the Jordan River, where John the Baptist was baptizing. More specifically, John was baptizing sinners. We're told that the baptism to which John was calling people was a baptism into repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Was a baptism intended for sinners for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's why John was understandably surprised and hesitant when Jesus came and asked to be baptized. Jesus was guilty of no sin, so why would he ask John to baptize him? If anything, it seemed like it should be the other way around, which is exactly what John thought, as he humbly said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus said that he should nonetheless be baptized, saying to John, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So what did Jesus mean by that? He was saying that his being baptized was part of God's righteous plan for our salvation. This, Jesus being baptized by John, was part of how God's righteous plan for us was going to be fulfilled. But how is that so? Well, to understand how Jesus' baptism fits into God's plan for us and for our salvation, we need to remind ourselves just what that plan was. What was God's plan for saving us? In short, his plan was to give his only begotten Son for us, as God the Father gave his Son, Jesus, to save us. But more specifically, God the Father sent God the Son to save us by being our substitute, by taking the burden of our sins upon himself and ultimately paying for our sins in our place on the cross. He came to receive what we sinners deserve, so that we sinners could instead receive blessings that we do not deserve. By receiving John's baptism, Jesus was showing that he was fully committed to that plan. He was embracing his mission of being our substitute. He was taking a stand alongside us sinners. He was identifying himself with us sinners. By receiving a baptism that was meant for sinners, Jesus was saying that in order to save us, he was willing to be numbered among us. He was willing to be counted among us sinners. That while he had no sins of his own, he was willing to shoulder the responsibility for all of our sins. In his baptism, Jesus was taking his stand alongside us sinners and saying, "I am with them. If this baptism is for them, then it's for me too. I am on their side." Jesus came to us, became one of us, and stood alongside us so that he could take our place under the law, to save us from the law's judgment, to save us from sin, death, and hell. Jesus ultimately completed that mission on the cross, where he himself paid the price for all our sins. And that is the task that he was committing himself to in his baptism. So now, if in his baptism, Jesus was coming to our side, then what happens in our baptism? In our baptism, Jesus embraces us and pulls us to his side. In his baptism, Jesus was saying, "I am with them." In our baptism, Jesus is saying, "Now they are with me." In his baptism, Jesus was saying, "I am on their side." And in our baptism, Jesus is saying, "Now they are on my side." At Jesus' baptism, God the Father spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father was especially pleased with Jesus that day, as he saw Jesus embracing his role as our Savior from sin. At your baptism, God the Father was saying to you, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." And why is the Father well pleased with us? Because Jesus has, in fact, accomplished his mission of saving us from our sins. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He died for all of our sins on the cross, and the forgiveness that he won for all of us there was poured over you personally in your baptism, where you were brought to God. As Paul describes it in Ephesians, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us so that he could make us holy, cleansing us by the washing of water with the word. When you think of Jesus' baptism, you can picture Jesus going into the Jordan River, pure and holy, and then having our sins poured over him through the waters of the Jordan. Because in his baptism, Jesus was associating himself with us sinners and choosing to be our sin bearer. And when you think then of your baptism, you can picture yourself taking your sins with you to the font and then having forgiveness and righteousness poured over you through the waters of baptism as your sins are washed away in Jesus' cleansing blood. In Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven to Jesus in the form of a dove. And in our baptism, the Holy Spirit also comes to us personally. He doesn't come in visible form as he did at Jesus' baptism, but his coming to us is every bit as real. The Holy Spirit descended to Jesus, identifying him as God's Son and anointing him as our Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes to us, marking us as God's children by grace, his children by adoption, and bringing us the gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to us in this washing of rebirth and renewal to give us new life and to make us new people as he brings to us and delivers to us personally all the blessings that Christ won for us on the cross. He comes with the power to plant faith in Christ where it is not yet present, and to strengthen and confirm faith where it is already present. He comes to make us living branches, grafted into the true vine, Jesus Christ, so that in Christ we then have an unending supply of forgiveness, life, and salvation. It can be easy to think of our baptism as simply a special day in our past, without realizing its ongoing significance for us today. And I'm pretty sure that most of us are even less likely to think back to Jesus' baptism in the Jordan and to see that as something that is relevant to our lives today. But when we take to heart what was happening in both of those places, at the Jordan and at the font, then we can see that both of those events, both of those baptisms, do in fact have tremendous significance for us and our lives today. In Jesus' baptism, we see Jesus coming to us sinners and saying that he is for us, that he is on our side. And that should be a reminder for us that he is still for us, still on our side today. When you face difficulties in this life, whatever they might be, you can know that you are not in it alone, because Jesus is there with you. And as he has always been, and as you can count on him to always be, he is on your side, meaning that he wants what is best for you, and that he will help you in whatever way he knows to be best for you. If you ever find yourself doubting that, then look to the cross where he died for you, and see there the depth of his commitment to you, the very commitment that he was promising for you in his baptism. And then look also to your own baptism. And there see the Lord graciously coming to you, embracing you, and pulling you to his side, never to let go of you. And let that be a reminder to you of the wonder of God's grace, his undeserved love freely given, without any merit or worthiness in us, a grace that was freely lavished on us in our baptism. Baptism is not a good deed that we do for God. Baptism is a great thing that God does for us. It is a wonderful gift that God graciously gives us as he draws us to his side, gives us his Holy Spirit, washes away our sins, clothes us in Christ's righteousness, and declares us to be members of his family, God's own beloved children, with whom he is well pleased. Those are just a few of the blessings that God has given you in your baptism. Blessings so great that we could never earn them. Blessings so great that God can only give them, as he freely does. So let your baptism be a clear and beautiful reminder to you of God's amazing grace, the grace in which you stand, the grace by which you are saved. And finally, let all of this be a reassuring reminder and promise from the Lord that with him at your side, with you in his care, there is now nothing that you need to fear. You have a Father in heaven who so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son for you, that believing in him you will not perish but have eternal life. The Father who lovingly adopted you into his family in the waters of holy baptism and now graciously assures you that you are his beloved child with whom he is well pleased. In Jesus Christ you have a Savior who loved you and gave himself up for you, a Savior who died for your sins to bring you to God, a Savior who came to you and has drawn you to his side and now gives you his word that never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. And he has also given you his Holy Spirit, who has shined the light of God's love into your heart and who now lives within you, daily directing your heart to Christ and assuring you of God's love and forgiveness as he strengthens and preserves you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. With such a God on our side, whom shall we fear? Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, of whom shall we be afraid? As we heard from the Lord in our Old Testament reading, fear not, for he has redeemed you. He has called you by name. You are his. In his saving name, amen.